for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. And this is one of the nights that I sort of look forward to. I didn't. Yeah, I know.
Yes.
The voice you hear there is that of David Alan Greer.
Daggeroni.
Delighted to welcome to the studio tonight. And we're going to do it together without the encumbrance of Carolla.
We're not.
Love that.
It's a whole new breed, Dr. Drew. Daggeroni. Oh. Straight mackin'.
How are you?
Show enough crack-a-lackin'. Yeah. We're going to save some babies tonight, Drew. Dog!
Oh, my God.
All right, here's the rules. We're going to take a lot of calls,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
We're not going to linger on the fake calls.
No, we will not. Not only that, neither of us will spend time talking about ourselves.
Well,
so that could cut 40 minutes out of the first hour.
Myself.
No, but I know you do, but you won't go on about your grandma and your mom. And
well, I don't have to, because
other radio
I'm here
types
to what?
Do.
Save the babies!
There we go. And you were up at Sundance.
First caller!
You were up at Sundance last week?
Yes, I was.
And what happened?
Well, you know, Dr. Drew, I like to hang with the young people, you know.
Yeah. So you were at Park City.
Yeah,
skiing at Park City.
Well, I actually had three films in Sundance this year. And
yeah,
I
just happened to mention that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was there for quite a while. And I had this brand new snowboarding outfit. It was black leather.
Nice.
Burton snowboarding outfit. I hit the slopes.
Somebody gave it to you?
Well, I paid a little money. Yeah. We made it a fair exchange. I fell. I was doing really well the first couple of days, and then I fell and I hit that snow so hard. I think I
snow anima.
My lower GI tract.
No,
I was laying spread eagle on the hill, just like, oh my God, it still hurts.
I was up there same week.
Yeah,
I wish you'd known you were up there.
Well,
and
hung out, but what?
We were up at Deer Valley. My kid got rammed by some guy going like 30 miles an hour. We took him to the hospital. Thought he had internal injuries.
Really?
A mess.
Was it a skier?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, a ski instructor killed an old skier. Like, he was really
zooming down
the hill. Guy was 70. He ran him over, killed him, and he was brought up on charges for manslaughter.
Well, this was a really serious situation. And this guy, we think, worked the hill because he had an Australian accent. A lot of people.
Same dude.
Same guy.
Not the same guy, but the
same
other
situation.
Guy worked at the mountain.
Yeah.
He was charged. I mean, they gave him 10 years.
This guy took off.
Really?
A crowd came around my son, and all of a sudden it looked like Martin Luther King's assassination. Like, people go, pointing. There he goes. It was a crazy scene. And then we couldn't catch him.
They don't have snow police?
No.
Like dudes in snowshoes
not
or anything?
Not in Deer Valley.
Yeah, Deer Valley's the land of the Mormons.
Yeah.
Beautiful Mormon people.
Let's
save some babies.
All right, here
first caller.
First caller is.
Hey, why are you hogging the screen, baby? Why are you hogging
you
the screen?
Want to see?
Give me some knowledge now.
Alicia, 19.
Alicia?
Are you a Mormon?
Hi.
Hi, Alicia.
Hello. Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, what's up?
Okay, I was calling because I think last Sunday there was a girl that called. She was like 18 years old, and she was sleeping with like a 34-year-old guy.
Good times.
Nothing wrong with that. It's legal.
And anyway, she was getting a lot of bladder infections.
Right.
And,
it wasn't the fact that she was sleeping with an older guy. Just
no, I was just
bladder
trying to refresh
infection.
Her memory. Yeah. So anyway, you some advice about that, and I was hoping to give her, a woman's perspective.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, well, I used to get a lot of bladder infections when I first started having sex, and I figured out that the only way to really keep them away is, like, if you have a bowel movement during the day, definitely take a shower and clean yourself very well before you have sex. And always urinate, like, 5 to 10 minutes after having sex to flush out any bacteria that might.
Yeah, well, actually, the second part is open for dispute. That
really?
That's it's a time-honored recommendation that people immediately evacuate their bladder after having sex, but that may not actually work. But certainly the bacteria that live in your perineum do have a significant impact, and most of them come from the pooper.
Yeah. You know, that's my favorite song.
Bacteria on the perineum?
The bacteria that lives in the perineum is why I love you. That's one of my favorite Sinatra recordings.
So, and there are many different other, and I know that worked for you, Alicia, but for, women in general, there's also changing position, not being too vigorous on the urethral area.
Really?
Some women have to wait to take antibiotics every time they have sex.
Really?
And, it's just the way
What did the cave girls do back in the good old
days? They died of urinary sepsis.
Really?
Yeah.
KY also helps, because I've been told that being too dry can also add to it.
Yep, that is true. Anything that irritates. So last time I saw you sing, Dag, was at the Bonnie Hunt Show. Why can't I think
it's Life with Bonnie, my friend.
What did I say? Bonnie Hunt Show.
Yeah. The beautiful, lovely Bonnie Hunt.
It was fun to see you guys in action, and it's amazing what she has to do.
Yeah, she does. Well, she has amazing. To put up with me, for one thing.
Puts up with you, directs you, teaches you how to sing and dance, sings and dance herself, directs the cameras.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and she tells stories about her family, and...
I was thoroughly impressed.
She's got about 3 more days to live, really. She's used up all of her...
And then you promised me a part on the show, and then, of course, that was just...
Well, I did, you know, but you know how they do. You know how they do. We're trying to get you on. We'll bring you back.
Okay.
We'll bring you back.
We will.
Anyway, thank you for letting us. Your wife was there. She loved it.
She
kind of scared Bonnie. She was sweating her a little too hard. Yeah, a little fanatic, obsessive. Is she on medication?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take a caller.
But did she threaten her or anything?
Well, she grabbed her arm. She grabbed her arm, very hard, and she said, "Don't walk away from me." You know, and she was very...
Don't look at me?
Yeah, don't look at me. She said that this one show, the Christmas show, was that made for her. We were talking to her.
Directed her.
Yeah.
That was after the Martians stopped beating the thoughts
down. Exactly. Well, it was that in Helter Skelter she kept talking about.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Don't look at me.
Wait a minute. I want to hear the rest of that.
Don't look at me. I will give you something to smile about.
Never gets old.
Oh, jeez. It's so true. It is so true. Let's save some babies.
Here we go. It's Alexis, 19. Alexis.
Hi.
I
was calling. When I breastfeed my son, my breast itch really bad, and I was wondering if that was normal.
Well, it's like anything else. You know, when your skin gets swollen and irritated, like you've got an infection, and then it sort of contracts down again, first thing it does is itch.
How long have you been breastfeeding your son?
2 months.
Well, is that relatively new? Is this your first child?
Yes.
Dr. Drew, get involved.
I just explained it. It just expands, gets inflamed, then it contracts and itches.
I met this woman who she said that when she had her first baby, that she when she would take a shower in the morning, she would take an emery board and
the nipple.
Rub her nipple.
She's saying the whole breast itches, not just the nipple.
Yeah, to get them ready, you know, because she said
like toughen them up.
Yeah, toughen them up. You know, I tell all my women to do that. You know, before we start tussling.
Yeah, I could see that.
Oh,
this is Nick, 18. Nick?
Hello?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey. Every time I have sex with my girlfriend, my nuts are on fire. I mean, after I'm done.
That's a message from God there. Don't you think?
What's the message?
I don't know. Slow down. What is that? Isn't that a disease? It's called...
Balls on fire?
Yes.
Great balls on fire?
Balls on fire-isms.
You mean the skin burns?
No, inside.
Inside. Is it sort of an achy that gets up into your abdomen?
Sometimes, yeah. It's only happened twice, though.
Yeah, that can happen. It's sort of perineal pain. Some people think that's
again one of
you
my
like
favorite.
That word perineal pain.
Perineal pain. I think it's gonna make me go insane whenever I get on commuter trains. Perineal pain. Get you. Very big.
That's
hit.
Good.
Very
I love that song. Hit. I love that song.
Wow,
thank you for bringing that to life for me.
Yeah.
Some people think that maybe a spasm of the pubococcygeous muscle.
No, it doesn't work. Someone record that?
You didn't like that one?
Pubis muscle. No, that's not it.
And it's, again, sort of a visceral pain that guys get sometimes. It can be a sign of epididymitis or prostatitis sometimes.
But tell me about it.
So it is something that if it keeps happening, you might want to get that kind of checked out.
I try not to go to the prostatitis.
No.
People, yeah, because that's, you know, then you're paying for sex, and that's never good. Okay, let's take another caller.
You're paying for them to mess with your keister. Is that that's what you consider sex?
Look out. Yeah, keister? No, how dare you? I'm all man.
Nikki, 23.
Hey.
Well, some people argue that's more man.
Hey, let me ask you something. Yeah. What is the most callers you've taken in one show? What is the record?
When I've been just completely by myself, I can do, what do you think, Anderson, 40?
I was going to say 35.
35, yeah.
Okay, how many have we taken so far?
3, 4.
Challenge.
Brian's crying, though. He's crying like a little bitch in here.
Because I'm going so fast.
Really?
Sorry, only one screener.
Nikki, 23, what's going on?
Well, I got a couple questions.
All right.
The first one is how do you get somebody to forget about an ex that they haven't been with for over a year?
Well, first of all, grew a mature set of testicles. Sounds kind of high in the voice, doesn't he, Dr.
Nikki's a girl?
Girl?
Yes.
Yes. Say Nikki.
Guys. Oh!
She likes a guy.
My bad. The screen's kind of dim, Nick.
Sorry.
I was like, boy, Nick's a little light in the loafers there.
There's nothing you can do to make somebody get over a relationship. It's ridiculous. And the fact that you're sort of trying to force this issue, it's never going to work. If, by the way, and this is the harsh reality that Adam usually delivers, and it's hard for me to deliver.
I don't play roles, Dr.
You know what I'm going to say?
Go,
you know what I'm
gonna go,
say?
Go.
Is that if this guy were really into Nikki, he'd get over his ex.
It's true.
If she were something that he was really interested in, magically the ex thing would sort of go away.
Well, he's telling her to keep trying.
Is he?
Right?
Yeah, and that I remind him of her about how I feel towards him.
What does he mean? He just wants to maintain contact, Dr. Drew, right? We all like to be worshipped now and then. We do.
With Nikki. Yeah. It makes you feel better. Yeah, but it does. No, I really would not waste your time with this. How's the guy?
He's 22.
Dump him.
Yeah, I think so.
Nikki. Put a bullet in him, honey.
Yeah.
Pow!
This does not sound like something's going to likely work. Jacob, 23.
Yeah. Here's the problem. I was about probably a good 6 months ago. For some reason, I started itching, like, all over.
All over your body?
Yeah, all over my body.
Hives?
No. Like,
no rash?
I had no rash, no hives, no nothing. And I took this medicine.
Medicine?
An M. Like, these little white pills. I take 6.
Oh, I know what those are. You know, the pills, the M pills.
The M pills?
Yeah. It's for you know, to treat that
itch.
Yeah. I know that stuff. Well, How big are the pills?
It looks like a birth control set or whatever.
Yes, exactly. And they start with an M.
Where did you get them?
Metacryptobolius.
I got them from one of those urgent care things or whatever.
Oh, Medrol. You took Medrol.
Yeah, okay. Medrol.
What's Medrol for?
And,
it's for steroid, anti-inflammatory.
I took it, but for some reason, as soon as I stopped taking it, the tip of my penis started getting like really callousy and really itchy.
Well, steroids are crazy, aren't they?
Well, this is corticosteroids. These are anti-inflammatory steroids.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you just take an anti-inflammatory?
That is an anti-inflammatory. Because they don't do anything for rash. In fact, they make rashes worse sometimes.
So, really? Yeah, is it going to go away or?
Never. How long you had it for?
The itching?
In the itching is now just on the penis?
Yeah, just on the penis and right near right on the pubes.
All right, let me get involved here. Have you been touching yourself some?
And no, I have not, and I haven't.
Have you been scratching?
Yes.
You have been scratching?
Yes.
All right, no further questions. Witness may step down.
How long ago was the generalized?
You're out of order, Dr. Drew.
The generalized itching.
It started a little before Halloween.
And when were you treated?
I was treated probably a good, a little less than a month ago.
And is there a rash in the pubic area now?
No, there's no rash, but the thing I did notice was, is that these two, like, little, like, red dots.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And they come back, and they go, and they come back, and they go. But, I haven't had any sexual contact with anything.
No, this not like STDs. Jacob, you got to see a dermatologist, really. It's called generalized pruritus.
Right. Tell me about it.
I know so much about
generalized pruritus.
And without a rash, it's kind of a difficult thing to diagnose. They should be doing blood work on you. There are things abnormalities of the liver, elevated bilirubin can cause that. And now that the rash went away with anti-inflammatories, steroids, and yet it's localized down the pubic area. It's very strange. Yeah.
Why are you looking at me like I would know? I wouldn't know. I don't know none of that. Bless you. Jesus.
Excuse me.
Maria.
Gray, 15.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, what's going on?
I was wondering, how easy is it to become sterile, and can you become sterile by taking steroids?
Well, wait a minute, Gray. You know, life isn't black and white.
Man, you're funny. You're funny.
Well, I'm slinging him tonight, Dr. Drew, because his name is Gray, and I was saying life isn't black and white.
I got you. Thank you for pointing that out, though.
Oh, jeez.
Thanks, man.
Good times. what's with the steroids? You're taking what?
You're 15. First of all, 15 steroids can stop your development.
Where?
However tall you are. Your schwanz can grow a little bit all of a sudden.
Excuse me?
And then stop growing. You're Johnson.
I'm not German.
Johnson. Penis. And your height, your stature, your bone plates, your growth plates will close and you won't grow anymore. And you'll be at risk for vascular disease, heart disease, liver disease, cancer.
And also, you know, when those plates close, it's hard to eat. Because you don't have anywhere to put the food.
You're so funny.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Even Gray, 15-year-old Gray's here.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's a horrible idea, Gray. And dangerous. And sterility is the lowest problem on your list of potential difficulties from this medicine. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to be clean, but sterile, that's overdoing it.
Melissa, 19.
Hello?
You'll be here all night.
Hey, Melissa. Missy!
Uh-oh. Melissa?
Hello?
Hi, what's going on?
Hi. I have a question. Yeah. A couple months ago, in September, I was diagnosed with cervical dysplasia that had turned into a slight cancer.
Uh-huh.
And I had my cervix frozen, had that whole procedure, and it was over with. But now I get kind of like a funky discharge.
Yeah.
How long ago was it? It's not like a yeast infection.
Yeah. How long ago was that cryotherapy?
I'm sorry?
How long ago was the freezing, the cryotherapy?
In October.
Okay. And so that means you had the wart virus, right?
The wart.
Right.
Which is known as...
papillomavirus, human papilloma, HPV.
Human papilloma.
That's what causes these cervical changes.
That's what you had.
And so you're contagious with that. If you have sex with guys, you'll give them that.
Right. But okay. You're saying if she, you know, just sticks to girls, that's fine. Right. In front of other people. Is that what you're saying, Dr. Drew?
Yeah, that's basically, that's the usual.
Have you been sexually active, Missy? Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how sexually active have you been?
Since then.
Yeah, well, in, you know, recent memory.
In recent, I'm not sexually active, very sexually active at all anymore.
Okay, but when you were, how many people did you sleep with, Missy?
I've had 12 partners.
Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb here, Dr. Drew. I'm saying that funky discharge is self-hatred. Next caller!
Pouring out of her body.
Yes, yes.
It could be something related to the bacterial change since the cryotherapy. You might have a bacterial infection of vaginitis, so that needs to be seen by your gynecologist, okay?
Okay.
All right, but guys, be aware of how to deal with the condoms.
You know, guys don't have penisitis, do we?
We have urethritis.
Urethritis. Now, what is that? That's like
you've had it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I'm clean as a whistle.
No, now you are.
I'm clean as
Zithromax,
a whistle.
You're fine.
I am.
It's when you pee and it hurts.
I wouldn't know what that. Hello, you're talking to me, Davey G. You know it never hurts.
Bonnie just mentioned something.
Hey, Bonnie, if you're listening, how dare you? How dare you? She was a nurse, you know.
I know.
Emergency
room. Amazing.
Nurse. Yeah, yeah, she does it all. I fell once. She had me in a splint.
Ryan,
action! Gotta go.
Ryan, 15.
Hello?
We have a lot of young callers. Ryan, what's happening, babe?
Hey, I used to take Zoloft about a year ago.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I stopped taking it about a year ago. Ever since then, it's been hard for me to get an erection. I wonder if that's normal or what.
No, Zoloft can do that and cause problems with ejaculation and an orgasm while you're on it. But within a week or so of coming off, that should be all done.
Why were you taking Zoloft?
Because I was depressed.
Right.
Were you doing any other drugs?
No.
Illicit drugs? Speed or cocaine or anything?
No.
Nothing? No ecstasy?
No.
Weird. Well, you got to call the psychiatrist who prescribed that medicine for you and talk to them about it because that is not a normal
sign. Well, maybe he's still depressed and that's why
maybe.
He can't, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
Pitch a tent.
That's what I'm thinking here. Jessica.
Jessica, Washington, 17.
Hi.
Hello.
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 I'm here. Can you hear me?
We hear you.
Yes, we can.
We're here too.
Okay. My question is.
Jessica, 15.
Here we go. And.
Can I go now?
Yeah.
Okay, my question is...
Jessica, no. Washington, 15, 17, go. 17, right, go.
How dare you?
How dare you? Okay, okay, we're there. Go, Jesse.
I masturbated about probably 8 hours ago with my fingers, and I had a discharge.
Way to stop David in his tracks, I guess, but well done. Well done. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, you had a discharge.
I'm here. I'm still hanging.
Yeah. What did it look like?
It was a baby... puke green color, and it's never been that color before, and it really scared me.
Baby puke
green. Oh, boy.
Not just general puke green, David. You understand? Baby puke. That's a chartreuse
color.
Okay,
are you saying a deep, wintry forest green?
Chartreuse.
Chartreuse. Not pea soup green?
About that.
Pea soup. There you go.
And another chunky. thing is, it was kind of thick.
I got to step away, Dr. Drew.
Just because she's talking. Natural body fluid, the pea soup, green, malodorous, vaginal discharge. Come on.
Okay, let's save some babies. Yeah. Go ahead.
Chartreuse.
You take this one, Dr. Drew. I'm going to count down. Go ahead.
I can't hear very well because you both are talking.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
Describe the green one more time, dear.
It was a medium dark green color. And it
medium dark.
Yeah, it was kind of thick.
Oh, wait a minute. Dr. Thick. Drew, like that. Like thick. That, right there.
There it is.
There.
David, thank you for giving us an example.
I brought up a little.
Cheers,
there,
David.
It's there right there. If this were television, we'd have a match.
Oh, well done.
Has this ever happened before, Jesse?
Oh, my God, no. And that's why I'm freaking out. I don't know. I don't know if it's like.
Are you sexually active?
No.
Just any pain or burning, anything like that?
When I urinate, it hurts just a little, just a sharp pain.
I know what this is.
Go.
Jessica.
Yeah.
Have you been eating a lot of spinach? Huh?
No.
Bingo! I think I got this one, Dr. Drew.
You got it. That's it.
Yeah.
Wow, he's a goofball.
Woo!
Yeah. Spinach discharge.
Yeah, spinachy. It's called the Popeye syndrome.
It may be nothing. Do you douche often or anything like that?
I did a couple days ago.
And you said you are or not sexually active?
I'm just with my fingers.
Okay. And I'm with a partner.
No. She has a partner. Five of them.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
Woo!
Okay.
Anyway, I was just wondering if it'd be like a urinary.
No, the fact that it hurts when you pee could be related to urine infection, but the discharge, no, is something in the vagina. And as I mentioned an earlier caller, that's usually a bacterial overgrowth called a vaginitis.
Mm.
And maybe douching upset the sort of the flora and fauna in there a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, maybe I'm having like an allergic reaction to the douche.
Not allergic reaction.
What kind of douche was it?
What kind? It was like a store-bought one from like Eve, I guess.
See, you're not supposed to do that.
Oh,
let nature douche your cooter, huh?
Well, you don't want to do it very, very frequently. But be that as it may, you need to have a pelvic exam. Have you ever been sexually active?
I was raped a couple times by
my
father. And I don't live with them anymore,
father.
So I'm happy. Yay.
Ooh. Wow. How old were you?
Oh, it started when I was like, 10.
You sound remarkably well put together despite all that trauma.
Oh, God.
Was your life normal leading up to that point?
No, it was pretty bad. I mean, my sister lives in Oregon now, and just a lot of crap happened, man.
Like what?
Well, I'll start from the first thing I can remember. All right, let's go. My dad and mom used to lock me and my sister in our rooms.
Yeah.
And then we could only eat our own crap.
What?
Yeah. I used to be so thin. Sometimes I cry about it, like, very bad. It's like Niagara Falls coming out of my eyes.
Have you gone into therapy at all?
I have once, but there's a lot of stuff that I can't tell the people.
Why? Why?
Because, let me think.
Is it stuff you've done?
No, the stuff that has happened to me, I can't talk about a lot.
Why?
Because I'm scared. I don't know. It's something I have to get over.
How long were you locked in the room for?
How long?
Yeah, these
some prison time. I don't remember. I was too young to remember, but it was probably sometimes day in, day out.
And you would eat your own feces?
Yes, we would. And CPS. Oh my God, let me tell you about CPS. They don't do anything.
Child Protective Services.
Yeah, they do nothing.
How did you finally get out of the house?
My friend Eric. He's really cool. And
so this is a peer?
Yeah.
How old is he?
He's about
19, 20. Wow, Jessica, it's amazing. Amazing, it's a story of survival for both you and your sister. God bless you.
And
amazing, you don't do what most people do that have been through that kind of trauma is have to carry around a bunch of hostility and sort of project all that into everyone you talk to.
Yeah, sometimes I blow up.
I'm sure.
Like I have a short temper sometimes, and sometimes I just blow up.
Right. You have to be really careful. I mean, you really need to get some treatment because this stuff can get the better of you. It'll be very difficult to have stable relationships. You can get very aggressive and do things you don't intend or don't wish to do to people.
Long term. right?
Yeah.
And Dr. Drew, don't you think a lot of people, when they talk about therapy or when their first experience with therapy, they think, oh, I'm going to go and talk to someone. It'll feel good.
No.
It's sometimes really painful. Yeah. The good feelings come afterwards.
Way later.
Like when you come back as a different life form.
Or the more common people think people feel is, this sucks. This isn't anything. They don't know. They demean the therapist. Right. They demean the process. Mm-hmm. And it's when you got to go till you want to go, quite literally. Right. We got to go to break. My guest is David Unger. My co-host is absent, and we're having a good time.
See you, Adam. You're not missed here, Mr. Troublemaker.
We'll be right back. Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew.
And I'm David G. Holding it down. Now, where's Adam tonight?
He is, you're going to love this.
Uh-oh.
By the way, the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. And he is taking ABC's corporate jet to the Super Bowl.
I wouldn't go near it. First of all, it's in Houston. What's good about Texas? Nothing. Mm. I wouldn't be dropped. All my friends and they're trying. Dr. Drew, it's like a bunch of crackheads. I still get emails. You coming down? You coming down? You got to come down.
Really?
I had 4 tickets.
Well, he and I were actually talking about it. In reality, it's much better to sit in your home, get friends around, see the commercials.
Mm-hmm. I went. We all went in San Diego, but not in Houston. It's cold. I don't care who's playing. It's Texas. Did I say it's Texas? Yeah. It's Texas.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't want to go down there.
All right. Let's take some calls instead.
Super Bowl!
Jonathan, 27.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, what's up, man?
I'm 27. My girlfriend's 21. Been together for about 2 years now and living together for about a year. Over the past, right before Christmas, so about three months now, our sex life has just gone down the tubes. And we've talked about it, but we can't figure out how to fix it. Neither one of us are really interested. I personally would rather sit around and masturbate than to be with her. And it's not that I'm not attracted to her. I am. But we can't figure out why this
sounds very, very, very attractive. Very attractive.
Well, I have a theory about all this. Keep going.
We just can't figure it out. Like, you know, we'll get into it, and just neither one of us seem like really into it. I think it's more on her end because I would be into it, except that I feel like she's just bored and not into it.
What happens when you approach her?
She
get angry.
I'm sorry.
She get angry or irritable, push you away.
Does
she
No. She usually is pretty accepting and will. Start doing whatever with me, but as soon as it starts going, it kind of just like there's no real like spark. It never really picks up. It's not really exciting.
Is she on any medication?
No, neither one of us.
Was it ever good?
Yeah, when we were first together, it was great, and even when we first started living together, it was great.
So how long was a great sex? How long did that last for?
6 months. Well, we met like almost 2 years ago, and we started living together in March, so like just over a year,
6 months,
maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I have a theory. One of them is you give a woman everything she wants, she will despise you. That's number one.
Yeah, but you only go out with trauma survivors.
I've changed. Drug,
yeah.
Dr. Drew. I'm in love right now.
Yesterday you changed.
I'm in love right now.
Yesterday.
Every day's a new glass half full, Dr. Drew.
Yesterday, but
Mr. Doomy Clouds. I just met
Doomy Clouds.
Yes, Doomy Clouds. Listen, you know what I think? I think a lot of young women are programmed to assume a sexual role in order to attract a male partner.
Yeah,
meaning they are not representing their true sexual selves. Not everyone.
But you are really, you're talking about pathology, though.
Yeah,
when people
I'm
do that, that is people that are manipulative and dishonest and can't be intimate do that. They use their sex as a way of sucking somebody into a relationship and then controlling
them. There are a lot of women who don't, who've been taught and
traumatized.
Because
a non-traumatized person will look for an intimate relationship.
Well, apparently you've been traumatized because I can't finish a sentence. As I was saying.
Yeah. Mr. Doomy.
Doomy clouds. That a lot of these chicks, you know, you get the freaky sex going for the first 6, 8, 9 months, and then they're like, they're not really into it.
There are different ways that is playing itself out. Sometimes it is just that they're letting down the show.
Right.
The show's over.
That's one.
Sometimes it is now you're actually becoming intimate, and because they've been traumatized, intimacy is a bad place, a scary place, and they shut down.
Yeah.
And that's actually more common than not. And the third is somebody
banging somebody else. else.
Well, she's not into it, yeah.
She's banging somebody else.
And that's, whatever it is, it's a bad sign.
She's banging somebody else.
And
she's banging either, somebody else.
Yeah. I don't think it's that. She really...
She's banging somebody else.
She's at work all the time, and when she's not...
She's at work banging somebody else.
No, I really don't think it's that at all. I have a lot of trust in her. She's and everything else is great, too. That's kind of... Is that...
Did you just say a thing? All right, Jonathan, the fact is something is very wrong in this relationship. Whether either she's not into it or she's not available for it because of her history, in either case, it's one of the things you got to realize is that our emotional lives are very much connected to our bodies.
Well, men's are.
Well, yeah, to the penile for the man too. But for men, because our bodies have sexual components to them. When the feelings change, the sexual response changes too.
But did you know that sexual dysfunction in this country, there are a lot of young couples.
Pray tell, David, tell me.
Well, listen, it's the same. Statistically, the age, whether you're 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, sexual dysfunction among couples is the same. But when you're younger.
It gets older, it gets a lot worse.
I know, but when you are younger, when you're 21, 24, there is no place for dialogue. Everyone assumes that a young hot couple, they're banging all day long.
Are you still in therapy?
I'm doing myself now, Dr. Drew. It's
amazing. You're having sex with yourself?
Well, no, I'm therapizing myself. It's a new term, therapizing myself here. Mm. Well, I took a break. Dr. Drew. My therapist said, get out! Get out! I can't take it anymore. You keep talking. You don't think so? No, it's true. It's true. Sexual dysfunction. Younger couples. And who there's no place to talk about. Everyone thinks that, young hot couple, they're banging all the time. No.
No, listen, people have issues.
Yes.
At every age.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
That's it? People have issues? That's the magic bullet?
Yes, Don, 16.
What a load of crap. Don, they sing!
Don. Anderson, give us a caller back, will you please? Don?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I have a Germany or Florida.
Germany.
Would you please sing?
Okay. No, well, no.
No, no. Germany or Florida.
No, because I sang last time and you never played it.
Oh, yeah.
Germany or Florida. It's Germany or Florida. Wait a minute. That was it?
That was you.
What about my opera version?
Anderson?
Are you kidding me?
We're going to sit here silently until you play it.
Are you joking? Germany or Florida? Germany or Florida? Germany or Florida? Germany or Florida?
I'll play that every single time, Dad.
Thank you.
I love you, man. All right, Danny!
Let it fly.
Okay, first thing I want to say, Dad, you are the funniest guy.
Thank you.
I'm serious. Thank you so much, sir. Great man.
Thank you. But luckily, about David, he's not only a funny, smart guy, he's a well-educated and trained guy. You went to college in Michigan?
Trigger. I think I went to a little place called
Yale
University.
You went to Yale for graduate school, though, right?
I certainly did. I went to University of Michigan undergrad.
And what'd you study?
Radio, television, and film. Mass communications. I went to school with guys that really wanted to be like reporters.
Oh, you were journalist school.
Yeah. It was radio, television, and film, journalism minor. But a lot of those guys, they would come to class in the blue blazer and the chicks. Yeah, we had, writing for radio and television and film, talking, speaking. We would do like campus reports,
Writing for radio.
Well, writing television, writing your own copy and all this stuff. These were anchor people. They wanted to be anchormen. Yeah. And these were guys, my professors were guys from WJBK, Detroit. What is wrong? Pass the baton, Dr. Drew, please.
Go ahead.
No, I'm through. I don't want to talk. Done. No, apparently you have something important to say. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and talk. Go ahead, Blabby Blabberton. What? Go on. Go on, say something. Ooh, talk.
Sound scares this man, doesn't it? Can't deal with it.
All right, I'll silence you out. But I'm worried about the babies here. Let's get to this Germany. Ooh. Boy. Sorry.
Don, Germany or Florida?
Okay, there's a cremation dude, and his neighbor found dead bodies in the back of his yard, and the government started sued him because of the improper use and stuff, and he's filing bankruptcy. Because he said he had no money to support the cremation.
All right. What's the proper procedure? Can I place my
Germany or Florida?
Florida.
Florida. Sounds about like Florida.
Yeah, Florida.
Don?
Nope. Germany.
Ah, oh, wow. Doggone it.
You're bad.
Well, there's a big case where, you know, I was thinking crematorium.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the guys were just dumping the bodies. Florida, i.e. tropical, near the water. Take the ashes, dump them.
Yeah.
Wrong, wrong. Give me another one. Come on. Come on, Donnie.
That's two for nothing.
Go. 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 Okay, okay,
only
come
one.
On. Come on.
Oh, hey, come on, Don. Come on. Okay. Here is Maya, 24.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, I was listening to your show the other night, and this girl called and she asked if there was any special handling advice for uncircumcised penises, and you guys just like laughed at her and told her.
Guys, hey, whoa, pump your brakes there, Missy. This one guy wasn't here.
One
okay,
guy.
Honey?
Yeah, you're the comic relief. You're
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Comic relief. How dare you? How dare you, Maya?
Keeping it interesting.
Oh, keeping it interesting.
Like
I have a lot of knowledge.
You colored time earlier. That was great.
Well, now, what is your opinion on the uncircumcised?
Well, Dr. Drew didn't give any advice to this girl.
Wait
like,
a minute.
I mean, when you're handling that kind of penis, when you're going down on them or giving them a hand job, you need to make sure you hold down the base of the skin. Otherwise, like when you twist up and down, you're going to tear the poor boy.
No, you're not. Like no.
Wait, hold on. That's, hold
yeah,
on.
If you have that.
Maya, no. What do you look like, dear?
No.
She's 24.
Hold on a second. Let's see what
San Jose.
We'll get her
how long
in a
does it take to drive to San Jose?
If somebody is.
I like her style, man. She has obviously hours. Handled a unit.
If
before.
You are.
This girl is experienced.
I'm
if you are
really
tearing.
I think we're dealing with a professional here.
If you are tearing with just bringing the head of the penis through the foreskin, that's stenosis and that needs a circumcision.
Wow.
So that should not be happening.
Okay, what else are you saying, to, Maya? Now, you've obviously had experience with just one.
I just wanted to get some dick.
Oh, hey, look out. No, have you only had, like, one guy or a bunch of guys?
I have not had a bunch of guys, but, you know, I've been with an uncircumcised man who was interesting. Couldn't stop looking at
him. Well, he had a problem with his foreskin. Then.
Well, does it matter
yeah,
to you?
You know, he had like the hood.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, his was abnormal. He had stenosis.
Oh, really?
And so
stenosis. Is that
it's a narrowing of the foreskin. That's somebody who needs to have a circumcision.
Boy, that hurts.
Yeah, if you're tearing, just moving the head through.
Oh
that,
no, it didn't tear. You just don't want to hurt the guy. You know, his skin moves around too much, and when applying the condom too.
No, 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 no.
What about cleanliness?
No, no, you will not hurt him. If that's what's funny, you will not. That's a misconception.
What about cleanliness down there?
Well, that's the guy. Has to be careful of that.
Well, if he's with the girl, now she got to be careful too.
No, what's she got?
Each one teach one, Dr. Drew. Maya, do you have a preference? Do you like your Jimmy trimmed?
Oh, trimmed is so nice. I was just with a man who was shaved. I couldn't stop touching his chest and his body down there. It's so much nicer. When a man is meticulous, you get so much more oral.
Wow. Yes. See, Dr. Drew?
She's talking about trimming the hair.
No, trimming the hair and just being clean down there. Cottonelle's a wonderful idea, you know.
Cottonelle.
What's Cottonelle?
Yeah, yeah.
We're on the same.
Keep coming back.
There you go.
What's Cottonelle?
Maya, there's only one thing to say to a woman after she says Cottonelle's. Will you marry me?
What's a Cottonelle?
She's talking about the old back door. Am I true there, Maya? Keeping all that whole area cleanly.
The whole area. You just, you know, baby wipes for years. I mean, I would not expect a guy to go down and find any toilet paper or anything. It's got to be pristine, perfect, just like straight out of Hustler magazine.
Twinkie hole, baby. Wow!
God bless you.
Maya, go on and teach the babies. One of our graduate students, Dr. Drew.
Yes, indeed.
From Davey and Drew's School of Sexuality.
Well, I don't know, Davey, but I think Cottonelle might be pushing things a little bit. But we'll talk about it during the commercial break, and we'll be back with more Loveline
Adam
after this.
Adam, eat your heart out!
Hey, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. Adam Carolla mercifully is away. I'm here with David Unk Freak Greer.
Hey,
what?
Daggeroni, baby. We're
pardon.
Healing
Daggeroni
babies. How many calls have we had so far?
Anderson, you keeping tally?
17.
17.
Beautiful.
Right
and what
track
time
here.
Is it?
Let's go.
Next back caller.
Off. Here we go. Let's go to James, 22.
Yes, hi. My name is. My girlfriend's dad left her when she was 13, and we've been off and on for 2 years now.
Yeah.
And what'll happen is we'll go out for the first 3 or 4 months, and it'll be awesome. And then going into the fifth month or so, she'll just emotionally shut down and completely shut herself off to me.
Yep.
And I was wondering, she refuses to go to therapy, and I brought it up several times. So I was wondering if there was any books that would be helpful not only for her but for me as well.
There's books for you, but it's her problem that she has to deal with, and you can't make her deal with it.
You know what? I don't mean to seem, this is going to sound self-serving, But I wrote my book exactly about these kinds of issues. Now, hold on.
James, but disconnect the phone.
I'm serious, because this was sort of a labor of love, this book, for me. And what I wrote about was, listen a second, was about boundaries and about how people, Dave Algra, are attracted to people with trauma issues and how their feelings get under your skin and how that can twist you around and affect your relationships and how much better relationships are when you're able to set boundaries. So my book, Cracked,
Wait a minute. What do you mean by how much better relationships are when you can set boundaries? With your lover? With your girlfriend?
With everybody. It's better for them. It's
what boundaries are you going to set with your girlfriend?
Well, one of the things is there's something happening
here.
You're
too close to me. Move away. That's a boundary you just broke. Go ahead. Continue.
There's something happening in this relationship. We don't know that, but there's something going on here where boundaries are crossed or something is happening here in this relationship. And he's already talking about how she's an abuse survivor and dad abandoned her, and he's going to fix all that and make that okay and be there for her.
Well, so, you know what your job, James, should be, why you are attracted to her. Because if you said... You got to get under the hood, my
that's
friend.
That's what I'm saying. So my book, Cracked, is about this issue.
I have a very good friend, detail. Dr. Bill. He's not related to Dr. Phil, Dr. Bill.
Is he related to Mr. Bill?
Yes, the great Don Lake created this character on our show. But anyway, why James is attracted to girls like her. Because he can dump his girlfriend and find a better model, and it'll be the same deal.
It'll be the same deal. So what I'm in my book, it's a story about boundaries and people that have trauma issues. It's called Cracked. It might help you. It's something I would advise.
Well, what were some of the other titles you played around with before you landed on Cracked?
Utter Hell.
Okay. Give me another one.
Those are the
Screwed.
Big ones.
Chipped.
I wanted to call it
Broken.
Effed Up.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nice. That's nice.
Would've
like
been good,
that.
Huh?
And were you like, is that old, the old rock and roll, Drew? Was it, you know, like...
You know why I run it? Because all my patients, my sicker patients, they come in, they go, I'm so effed up.
Yeah.
Every single one
of
them.
Well, could
you
say
they
screwed up? Do you have to be profane?
I just want to literally effed up. I didn't want to put the UC. You know,
I really don't like that. And you know what I don't like? I don't like radio people who say effed up or full of S or a-hole.
I've never met one of those
guys.
Use
a different word.
Adam, like that's what? Drew, that's Adam every night.
Get Anderson.
Of course it is.
It's called sarcasm, you idiot.
Sorry, I'm a
Anderson. I'm sorry, Anna. I got to make amends here, Anderson. I just blew my stack there, and
did you
so
have to
sorry.
Eat your poo when you were younger?
You know me well, a little old-fashioned, but I don't care. Every Kwanzaa, my mother, happy Kwanzaa. Here's your bowl of poo. And I was like, Mom, come on, stop it. That's
when did your mom
funny.
Start celebrating Kwanzaa?
We never did.
That's right.
I'm being facetious.
Right. Melvin, 24, from Alaska.
Why are you hogging the screen,
I'm just
brother?
Looking at it, just looking at it, dude.
How's it going, man?
Hey, Melvin.
What's up, Mel?
Oh, not much. My girlfriend's 21, and we have three kids together.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right.
I got three beautiful children. She's... there's a deal with about the doctor. When she was pregnant, the doctor told her she could take Wellbutrin.
Wellbutrin,
and
yeah.
We didn't know it was antidepressant, and it was prescribed to her because she wanted to quit smoking, but they gave it to her.
Well, probably Wellbutrin is less dangerous than the tobacco. Probably.
Yeah.
And she's pregnant. It was prescribed.
Well, she was trying to stop using tobacco.
Now our boy came out, and she doesn't know about taking it because we don't have that much information about it.
It's a safe, very safe medicine. She should keep taking it if it helps her stop smoking. The nicotine is a much worse. There's some evidence that came out recently that showed that nicotine and alcohol probably the same impact on pregnancy as crack.
I bet. Can we stop for a minute here? Where are the production values on this show? You know, usually that is a call. That is a call which should have been cued by the country music. And because I'm here, because I'm a black man, you didn't do that. See, I know what's going on. It's a vicious plot here. Now, from here on forward, Anderson, if that is your name, he should have done the hillbilly music, right?
Yes, of course.
So where's the hillbilly music?
He's afraid of
it. Alaska usually keeps me from doing hillbilly music.
Wow.
I think of the South for the banjo.
You shut me down. Touche, Mr. Anderson. Next one! Look out. Wait a minute. Let's go to Amber.
Got her.
Amber.
You read my book, David. You like it?
I did. Yeah. Cracked. Yeah. I read the whole thing. It was a wonderful book.
Thank you.
Amber, how are you?
Now tell me what you really thought of it.
I did. I sent you an email.
You did? Yeah, you did.
It was very moving. It was very. I think you had a crush on that crazy chick in there, though. Well, the really hot one yeah, with the big Cro-Magnon.
Listen, that was the point. Is the, Amber yeah. was her name, interestingly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was hot.
That was the story
she
I was telling.
She was hot, wasn't she?
There was
Dr.
no Amber.
Drew.
It was a story I made up.
She was hot.
And she was
made
up. Was
she not? Was there not a patient who was really hot that you were attracted to? Yes or no?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah,
no yeah. further questions, Your Honor.
But this particular
you were
case,
out of order, sir.
Listen, the idea is when there are boundaries to be set, right. that's one of the things that makes it difficult for people. And in our culture, we're sort of taught that not to pay any attention to those kinds of boundaries.
When Why wouldn't? I mean, don't they tell doctors you're not supposed to take the hot patient behind the barn and, you know, give them a little spanking?
The point is this stuff is not made super, super clear. And what's really not made clear is what happens if you respond to that attraction to your patient. Not forget have sex with them
or act on
just,
it. You're
not even act on
it.
Just what does your feelings do to that person if you're not able to sit and empathize with them and maintain boundaries?
I can't tell you how many friends and acquaintances I have that tell me inappropriate instances with their therapists or physicians.
Yeah, see, that's bad. And it's one thing if you're a healthy person, it's illegal, it's bad. But
well,
if you're,
they're not.
But
that's
listen,
why they're there.
You only like trauma survivors. But if you're a trauma survivor, it keeps you very sick. It recapitulates all your sense of important relationship.
This is what they call, you know, a breakthrough moment. I just realized I am a trauma survivor.
Good. We'll talk about it in the break.
Well, wait a minute. I'm a trauma survivor from your friendship. This is trauma talking to you. I am surviving the trauma of Dr. Drew.
Be right back.
Bye. Here we go. Let's take the next caller. We have so many calls. How many? 16?
Hey, yo, it's Love Line.
I'm sorry. It's Love Line. My name is Dr. Drew. Drew Dog Pescaring. I'm here with my man, Daggeroni.
Woo!
Dag. Hey, Dag, what's going on with Life with Bonnie, man? Tell me what's going on with your show, man.
Well, don't talk about it. But
Me what you do on the set, man.
Well, you know, it's pretty cool. It's really cool. That Bonnie's great. She just
Bonnie
takes care of everything.
Is
I love
so
her.
Beautiful and wonderful. Love you, Bonnie. Love you. All right, let's take some calls. We're trying to break a record here. We're trying to get in the Guinness World Book of Records.
Lindsay, 24.
Oh, hello?
Hey.
Hi.
What's going on? You're on the air. What's up?
Okay, sorry. I just had a question for Dr. Drew about my boyfriend's testicles. He was diagnosed with varicocele. Not too long ago.
Yeah. It's like a varicose vein in the testy.
That requires close examination, doesn't it, baby?
No, but they're pretty common. They can even, when you feel them, they feel like a bag of worms, basically.
Oh.
It's nice.
That's exactly what he called it. But, my question was, his first doctor, his general practitioner, told him that he wouldn't affect his fertility. And then, so he went to a specialist, and they said that he didn't need to get a procedure until he was planning on having kids, but it seems to me like it's going to do permanent damage, like by not getting a procedure now.
No. He may be perfectly fertile, but the cystocele and varicocele whatnot are thought at least to be a potential cause of lower sperm count. So if his sperm count is low, then he might want
to
get that.
Let's cut to the chase. Lindsay, you sound very concerned about his nut disease, honey.
Yeah.
Is this the man you're going to spend your life with? Are you guys married?
No, actually, he just broke up with me, so I...
Hell with him and
well, what do
his
you
testes.
Care?
Well, because I've been trying to get on for months, and finally I got through, and now the question's
That's
not even valid.
Give me another question. What's going on with your cooter, honey? Anything? Is it squared away down there?
Everything's squared away down there.
All right, next caller! We're trying to break records.
The varicocele, cystocele, spermatocele, not a big deal, most guys. But they can sometimes affect sperm count, possibly. And so if somebody's having a problem with fertility, the specialist might go in there and remove those things, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, good luck.
Bye-bye, thanks.
Bye.
Probability just says next guy will not have the bag of worms in
there. Yeah. That's some voodoo stuff.
All right, so we're back to Amber. She's 14. Amber?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm 14, and I've been trying to get a hold of an abortion clinic because I'm pregnant, and I really don't want my parents to know.
Wow.
And I can't find anything.
What's the state? I don't know is it a state law or something or national in Nevada?
What do you mean
Nevada?
How about just calling Planned Parenthood?
I don't know the number. I mean, I've looked.
1-800. Here you go. Write it down. Ready?
Well, how about 411?
Yeah, I know. Planned Parenthood.
Let's act it out. Okay. Okay. You dial the number, Amber. Go. Beep, beep, beep. Hello. Hello. May I help
City
you?
City and state, please.
City and state, please.
Reno, Nevada.
Okay. How can I help you?
I'm trying to get a hold of Planned Parenthood.
Chatting Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood?
Planned Parenthood.
Okay, let me look it up. Hold on. Is this Amber? Yes. Amber, it's your mother. See, it's just simple.
Here's Planned Parenthood Reno.
Yeah. 1-9-5-5-2-2-2-2-2.
And here it comes. 1-800.
Yes.
230-PLAN.
Did you write that down?
Yes.
All right, call them up and call us back before midnight.
No, they won't be there at night, but they will refer you to a place in your area, and you call us tomorrow and let us know what's going on, okay?
Now, what's the deal? She's 14. Can she get an abortion without her parents?
In most states, yeah.
Good luck with that, Amber.
All right, Amber.
Have you been sexually active?
No, she's not had 13. Sex. What the hell are you talking about, David?
I said a lot. Promiscuous, well, Mr. Know-it-all.
Active just means that she's had sex.
In my world, it means active.
I'm extremely active since I was 13.
What's going on with you?
13.
What's going on with you?
I was sexually molested whenever I was 10, and my real father left me whenever I was about 8.
Right. Well, you need to get some help. You need to deal with this because you're only going to face this problem again, right, Dr. Drew?
I hope not.
Well, yeah, okay. But I mean, not without getting help.
But
you have to.
Are you addicted to drugs?
I have been doing heroin.
Yeah. See. Okay. Because this kind of action at 14 is addict behavior. Yeah. So you make sure, when you go in there and you talk to the Planned Parenthood people, you tell them about the heroin addiction too, because you need to get this whole situation treated. You're an abuse survivor. You're an opiate addict now. You're pregnant. You're sexually active. You're a sex addict, quite literally, at 14. It's amazing. Yeah. And I'm sure the heroin's kind of slowed you down. That's your new love. You need to get this treated. That is a deadly disease. You know, it's interesting. There's a part of your brain called the anterior cingulate gyrus. Adam will not let me talk about
this.
Tell
me about it. Go with it. You're running in a field of idiots. Go.
In mammalian systems or in higher...
Interesting. Go. I'm listening, Dr. Drew.
There's a part of the brain called the anterior cingulate that's associated with maternal sort of nurturance and attunement. Mm-hmm. It's developed in humans. If you look at people that are trauma survivors or poorly attuned in childhood, that part of their brain doesn't work. But lo and behold, when they take opiates, that lights up. So it's literally the same feeling that they would get from maternal nurturing.
Wonderful stuff. Next caller!
Chad, 24.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
first, David, I wanted to ask you about the movie Amazon Women on the Moon.
Next caller.
Yeah, what's up, man? What do you want to know?
Don No Soul Simmons. I was wondering if you could sing "Tie Yellow Ribbon."
I am not your performing seal, sir. I will not tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. It's been 3 long years since you porked me. If I don't get some nookie, I'm gonna tie a yellow ribbon round your neck and choke you dead. Oh, tie a yellow ribbon, and you better give me head. Thank you.
You probably confused a lot of people with that.
Oh, boy. It's one of my favorite songs. What can we do for you tonight, sir?
Well, I wanted to ask Drew about, I've taken acid about 100 times in my life and ecstasy maybe 25 times.
Yeah.
And I was wondering what medication you typically prescribe for those who feel the chronic feelings of emptiness and the general apathy that result.
Well, more ecstasy. Don't you usually prescribe that, Dr.
Are you getting panic or anxiety, too?
I've got some anxiety, but the main thing is this chronic feeling of emptiness. Like, emptiness, I feel like I've just seen my dog run over, and I have that feeling.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, that anterior cingulate function.
Well, explain what you just explained.
No, because you're going to start snoring.
It's not for me.
I'm not going to do it.
It's not for me,
He heard it.
Chad may not have heard your explanation. Please, Dr. Drew, Adam's not here. Safe place. Okay. Please, tell this young man about the anterior
cingulate.
Doctor, take a moment. We're not all as brilliant as you are. Tell him about the anterior singularities. Come on. Spit some knowledge.
It won't matter.
Just tell him, please. I command you.
He's had some brain injury.
Dr. Drew.
Are you addicted to anything else?
I've had some problems with pot now and then. It seems to make those chronic feelings of emptiness go away.
But when you take the pot away, they get worse is the problem. And did you ever use pain pills, Vicodin, codeine?
No, not that. I've tried Cerazone before. And
Well, Cerazone is antidepressant. Cerazone makes some sense because it's a postsynaptic serotonin drug. In other words, doesn't rely on so much the blocking of reuptake of serotonin released from cells because with ecstasy and LSD, the cells aren't there.
Let me jump in here.
So the postsynaptic mechanisms like serotonin make good sense. Also, the dual agent drugs like Effexor, those are the two that I typically use with LSD and ecstasy.
Chad, let me translate. You know, did you ever watch the old Red Fox series, Sanford and Son, when the cops would come in and there's a white cop who was talking, you know, and then there was a black cop who would break it down. I'm going to break it down to you.
See,
what you have in your head, your chrome dome there, are these good time nodules, right, Dr. Drew?
That's what I call them.
Now, it's kind of like a cash register. When you take ecstasy, you make a withdrawal of the good time nodules. And it sounds like your bank is low, right? Right, Dr. Drew?
So we need to nodule up.
There you go. Can he ever fill that hole back up with the good time nodules?
No, the cells probably are permanently gone, but you can adjust the chemistry a little bit with other... you've been injured by pharmacology, you can be supported by pharmacology.
Right. Or he can just go like pedal to the metal, 80 miles an hour, right to the brick wall.
No, I wouldn't recommend that.
Okay, then. Next caller!
Yeah.
I heard that. I don't think I didn't hear that, Mr. Passive Aggressive. Yeah. What was that? Why didn't you just punch me?
Look at this. Eric, 22.
Love, exciting and new. Come on board. We're expecting you.
It's the love boat. Don't the final.
Badass, man.
Oh, it's beautiful, man.
That's it. That's all I got. I just want to say.
All right. Next caller!
That's it?
Yeah, he wants to sing with me.
I thought he wanted to sing off, as it were.
No.
Yeah, whatever.
We sing together. We sing together.
Give him a challenge.
Me and Dag make beautiful music together.
Absolutely. I know. That's why I want you to challenge him.
You see what I'm saying? This is so funny. You see how antagonistic my addictive friend is here. He wants us to fight.
No.
Now,
what we had
is a musical creative collaboration.
It just doesn't get better than that, huh?
Okay, next call.
Wes, 16. Wes?
How many calls are we on? Edison.
At 22.
Yeah?
Okay, we're going to do this. Hey,
Wes, what's up?
Hey, yeah. My problem is after I masturbate about 3 or 4 times.
Ooh.
When I'm... three or four times after when I'm taking a piss, I have it just goes crazy.
You know what? I think we're a little confused on your measurement of time. 3 or 4 minutes?
3 or 4 urinations after masturbation.
3 or 4 urinations.
Oh, really?
You get the windshield wiper spray, or do you get the split stream, or what do you get?
Like a split stream for a few seconds.
He gets one in the wastebasket and one in the sink.
Excuse me?
Oh, I know what this is. His shooter hole is clogged, wouldn't you say?
Well, it's not clogged, it's inflamed. And sometimes semen can leave behind a little residual that sort of gets mixed sticky, sticks at the end, and things spray all over the place.
Now, isn't there
that's not necessary. It's just an urethral irritation. What are you using something to masturbate with, a soap or cream or something?
No,
just be kind to your penis.
Isn't there a machine that I've seen where you insert it in the rectum and it pumps air and shoots air out of the penile opening?
No, I'd love to see that machine, though. It's interesting. Wow. And anatomical issues it has to overcome.
I got to take that back.
Sometimes this can be a sign of urethral stricturing and things like that. But, if you keep, you're 16, if you keep having the problem, you want to see
my first wife's name was Urethra, a beautiful woman. Next caller!
Erica from 18.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Erica.
Yes.
Eric, it's Eric. I beg your pardon.
Hey, I got a question for Dag.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I don't want to be rude, but... people find your sense of humor a little annoying sometimes?
Hit me hard. No one has ever said that in my life. Dr. Drew, has anyone ever said that about me to you?
No.
They said genius. They said very funny.
Very funny.
They said hilarious.
They
said just nutty, nutty Nuttertons.
I was just wondering because, I don't know.
Really? Do you find my humor annoying?
Just when you yell a lot.
Really? Well, how? Am I yelling now?
No.
Is this annoying to you?
Did you have other questions, Eric?
No, yeah. I want to adjust. I want to conform to Eric's.
Of course.
Tell me who's funny to you, Eric. Who's funny to you?
I don't know. Just like, I don't know. I like Rodney Dangerfield.
There's a funny man.
All right, next caller.
Hey, how you doing? Ooh, look at your hair.
He is funny. He is very funny.
Anything else, Eric? Old. It says you wonder how Dad got started, or how did he? How was he had success?
Yeah, like how did he?
Where'd you come from?
I came from a town called Yelltown, Michigan.
Wait a minute. You went to a fine school of dramatic arts.
I did. I went to Yale School of Drama. I went to University of Michigan. I'm from Detroit. And, you know, I started acting. Oh, he's now Dr. Drew's.
I always even thought.
How dare you?
No,
next caller.
Relax.
Now, I can take a hint. Next
caller.
You are
so sensitive.
Next even caller. I just have feelings like of emptiness.
Missy?
Yes?
Hi, what's going on?
Hi. How are you guys?
We're good.
Good. Okay, here's my problem. Yeah. In July, I went in for my yearly exam, and my PAP came back abnormal.
PAP.
And we found out that it was
I had HPV.
Yeah.
Minnesota.
Hold on. How old are you?
I'm 22.
Okay. Because she said yearly. She said yearly.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Okay.
In fact,
okay.
They're even suggesting we cut down even further these days. But, yeah, you have HPV, so and half your friends have the same thing. It's very common.
Yes. So I guess that causes cervical dysplasia.
It can put some of those HPV viruses put you at risk for cervical cancer, yes.
Okay. So then I had the LEAP procedure done in October.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And ever since then, when I'm getting intimate with a guy, it's really, really hard for me to get wet.
Hmm.
And I'm wondering if that's because of the surgery or am I just not drinking enough water? No, it's not the drinking of water.
Are you on hormones right now, birth control pill, anything like that?
No, nothing.
You don't take the Depo-Provera shot?
Nope, nothing.
Nothing.
Could maybe she doesn't feel comfortable? Could that be part of it? Anxiety, her own personal anxiety, you know?
I have not heard, it's possible, yes. I've not heard the complaint.
Well, she ain't been with me. That's the first thing.
What would you do, Dag, if you were
I'd right mac there? Her down, brother.
How would that sound?
Mac her down.
I mean, what would that sound like?
Baby, what you in? Scoot down. I go real slow.
Yeah.
I give her love. Yeah. Tenderness. Then I'd apply the full throttle Dag lovemaking machine.
Anderson, hit her with some of my lovemaking noises.
Oh, man.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to get wet. Oh, you're playing hard to get. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're going to get wet now. Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, my. Wait.
You know what? That doesn't. I'm cured.
Wow, we got to get that CPAP going, David.
Wow.
I woke up, there was a woman pounding on my chest. Get up! You're dying!
Oh, my God.
Take time. Maybe, how long ago did you say the surgery was?
It was in October.
All right. I have not heard that complaint from this, but you ought to talk to your gynecologist, see if something he or she has encountered. Usually this thing is anxiety, as David said, medication, particularly hormones like the progesterone-containing shots. And maybe it has something to do with the procedure, though. So
the baby box is a wondrous and complicated
confusing,
thing.
Yes. Amanda, 13.
Hello?
How'd you know the formal clinical term?
Oh, the baby box?
Yeah.
Well, you
That's
know.
Amazing.
Yeah. The Twinkie hole is the entrance, or as I call the doorway, to the baby box.
Amanda,
Twinkie
Amanda,
hole, baby! Woo!
13.
How are you?
13. I'm fine. Yeah. Okay, I'm like kind of nervous right now. David Alan Greer, just want to say, like, I love you, Hammer. Forget that guy that called.
Thank you so much.
And
Thank
Dr. Drew, I love your book. I read it. I have, like, this really big problem that was related to your book that I kind of need help with is, like, the boundaries thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I'm attracted to people that have problems. Like, all my boyfriends are, like, they have to be, like, really depressed or, like, I feel that they don't need me. Mm-hmm. And, like, I went out with this one guy and, like, we broke up really fast because, I don't know, I just didn't feel like a connection or something.
Yeah, it wasn't dramatic enough. Well,
boyfriends, 13.
Mm. Maybe it's about just slowing down and not having boyfriends for a while.
Are you not having sex, are you, Amanda?
No.
That's good. That's good.
Because at 13, it's very difficult to start talking about, you know, issues of boundaries and relationship choices that you're going to necessarily make
that's
as
so
an adult.
Frightening. That's so frightening. 13-year-olds are talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the slating, Jimmy?
Wow. Well, slow down a little
bit. It's
great, Amanda,
that you've identified this and you need to kind of examine and look at it. But sometimes just being alone gets you through some of that. If you keep going for people you're attracted to, and at this stage of life, the guys you're going to be attracted to are going to be the guys with the problems. I don't think you can really change that right yet. And the being in those relationships are going to hold you with that same kind of problem that you're not going to change. Just being by yourself, growing up, working on yourself, yeah, focusing on things that are important to you, building self-esteem, magically many of these sorts of attractions may kind of settle down. So give it some time, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. I love you.
Okay. Bye. Bye. Bye, Amanda.
Bye.
That's not a good boundary thing.
Okay. Bye.
Love us. We're here to help you. And
goodbye, Amanda.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Jeez, she just said it. Well, she loves the show.
But that's that expansiveness that she's falling victim to. Frankly, it's sweet.
Really?
But that's I love it. It's like all out there.
What happened to hippies? You know, peace and love. Yeah, I love you.
Think about what happened to all that. And think about how they were as parents.
Heavy stuff.
Amanda, 20.
Heavy stuff.
Amanda?
Hi.
Hi, what's going
on? Oh,
Mandy. Hey, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Well, you
can. Hi, David. How are you?
You change without.
He's fine. He's just singing. Go ahead.
And I don't sent know if you away. I remember speaking with me 2 weeks ago.
And what happened?
And I was supposed to shut the door on my boyfriend and not talk to him for 6 months.
This was a guy. To remind us again. Give us the story.
I love him, but I'm not in love with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I didn't break up with him. And my question was, I guess, is that bad? I mean, I want to give it a chance. I mean, maybe I'm being too quick to shut him off.
Do you think, well, hold on, let me catch up. Did you think that there was a problem in the relationship?
No, the relationship is a good relationship. It's just, I don't want to lead someone on, and, you know, I mean, he really, like, cares.
What do you mean, lead him on? If it's a good relationship,
she's really not into him. Really not.
Do you have sex with him
and
all that stuff?
I like him, yes. Uh-huh.
Do you have sex with him and, you know, like, girlfriends and boyfriends and stuff, or what?
Yeah, I've been with him for a year, yeah.
Okay, so what's the problem, then?
Well, I mean, I'm young, and I don't know if, like, he's, like, really, like, committed, and I don't know.
Have you cheated on him?
Once
have you
twice.
Cheated on him? Oh,
yes.
God. Next caller. Really.
My recollection was I thought you were being cruel to him. And I thought you just kind of, at least to be nice to him, let it go. And if you need to be in a relationship where somebody needs you and loves you, even though you're not really into them, well, you're going to do that with somebody else anyway.
Absolutely.
But that's not a great relationship.
No,
that's not intimacy.
No, that's not what it is either, because I've had other relationships and, well, one other really serious relationship, and it was totally opposite. And so what I think it is that...
But in that case, you were the one totally loved him and he wasn't into you.
Yeah, the first time around.
Yeah, neither of those are relationships, Amanda. Some people need to be in that state of longing and desire and drama. Those aren't relationships, okay? Those are movie scripts. Those are not relationships.
Well, what is a mature relationship?
That's what I was going to ask.
Where people are available for one another.
What do you mean by available? Like what if you're talking about this growing romance, this growing relationship? Whether
Amanda's?
You should. Well, I'm
yeah,
saying
there
two
are
people.
Times where I feel, there are times where I feel like, oh, you know, yeah, you know, I am into him, and you know, I do really care for him. Of course, you know, I mean, you wouldn't want. And for a woman, as far as a woman goes, I think, well, not all women, but most women, like, in general, I think if you're involved with someone, you do generally care for them, you know, otherwise you wouldn't be with them.
Yes.
That sounds great. I say you're doing the right thing. Next caller!
You do. I'm going to go to break in just a second. You do care for him. That's right. And maybe you just can't tolerate intimacy. Maybe you wouldn't be able to find it with anybody, which like that's where you're at. And so you might as well be with this guy as anybody.
She
maybe you'll find your
girlfriend.
I know. Maybe you'll forge a road into intimacy. But it doesn't sound like you're really available. And God knows what happened to you that sort of set you up like this. Be that as it may, if he were to find out this is what you felt, he would be pissed. He'd be angry. Yeah. This would not be okay with him. We got to go to break.
I'd say he wouldn't be that pissed. He's probably wimpy.
No, I think cranny. But if he would be like, why? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And wimpy.
Yeah, but then it would be, you've got, now it's going to be all about him getting her in. Now you've got to be in. We got to find that way in. No, that's a horrible relationship.
All right. I need to go in session with you on this break.
Does that mean take a pee?
No, I need to go in session with you. Quick
Let's therapy. Go pee. We'll all do right. it in the bathroom. All right, we'll be right back.
Now, you know, Adam didn't call me himself. He had his assistant call me.
No.
He had his assistant call my manager, who called my agent, who called my publicist, and I was told by email that Adam wanted to get in touch with me. So I called him, and I was like, what are you, an idiot? Call me up. Then Jimmy Kimmel emails me. What is wrong with him?
Wow.
Adam, how dare you?
Fascinating.
How dare you, sir?
Jeremy, 22.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good.
I got a question for you. I just spent 8.5 months, go back in November. I was over in Iraq for 8.5 months. I'm married. We have a 6-month-old son who was born while I was overseas.
Wow.
And it just seems, you know, I didn't get home until he was 3 months old, and it just seems like lately, like a relationship's basically gone down the gutter and then some.
How long have you been home for?
I've been home. We get back November 5th, and we're still doing training. And she was down in Florida while I was overseas. I'm stationed out in California. And she came back for a couple months, and things just didn't seem like they used to be. And she's still there, and my son's with her, and it's...
Yeah.
It just seems...
What do you want to do?
Are you guys in counseling?
We did try the counseling and everything like that, and it was better. We went for a month and a half. We went to counseling, and everything was going fine after that. And then she went back home for a week and came back and started packing her things and walked out the door. Mm. And I guess, my question is more like along the legal matter, as far as, because I know it's real hard, especially for men, to get full custody of their kids.
It's impossible.
You know, I've got you know, guaranteed job in the military and everything like that. And
yeah, why would you want to take the child away from the mother?
Well, just because of the fact, I mean, granted, you know, yes, she is the mother, but she's bipolar. She's got severe depression. She's been hospitalized before.
Well, you didn't say that, man.
Let me fill in even some more gaps. The fact that she's reacting so profoundly to what she perceives as abandonment, mm-hmm. you not being available during a critical period of her life, suggests that she may also have a personality disorder. Have they ever said she has a borderline personality disorder?
I'm sorry?
Jeremy, have they ever used the term borderline personality disorder?
I've heard it used before, yes.
For her?
And I know her mom is one of those people where she's just a real off-the-wall, strict, and...
She has some very, very serious issues. On the other hand, do you want to try to maintain a family or a semblance of a family for this child?
Right.
All right. Well, then the therapy was working. Why don't you stay with that? Now, one of the things you're going to have to do is stay near her. You're going to have to forge a relationship every day.
And right.
Because the kind of personality problem that she has, you being away is going to make everything completely unravel. She is going to perceive that as traumatizing.
But he didn't say all that other stuff. It was bad enough. You go away in the military for 9 months. You know, that's bad enough. You're 22. He dropped that lug at the end.
Yeah, she's bipolar. She has one leg, and she's a heroin addict. She's blind, deaf, dumb, and mildly retarded.
Yeah, that kind of changes things.
Yeah, so... It's something that has to be treated.
Dr. Drew.
Yes, you're right.
Let's not lose energy, my friend.
Am I losing energy?
Yes. Let's bring it up a notch. Let's save some babies. Sprint to the finish line. Go, 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 go.
Breezy, 21.
Oh,
I'm here.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, Breezy.
Hello.
Do you know my friend Wendy? Good stuff.
That was so good.
Good stuff.
What's up, Breezy?
My question is, like, how often would you say the average female masturbates?
13 times a day.
And
at your age, depends what age you're talking about.
Or is that just like, you know.
Isn't that the point?
Yeah, masturbation means you do something to orgasm.
Right.
But Most women under 20 don't masturbate.
Well,
some do.
No?
Some do. I mean, most don't. Really? But after, later on, you sort of figure it out. Things start functioning. And they,
what about women who masturbate feverishly?
There are those, too.
Is that, it's a women, that
see,
usually...
women have a much... Not necessarily mean anything, but it, women are a much broader spectrum of right. biological sexual responsiveness. Men
so
come in
think
one
that,
flavor.
Do stress will affect your libido?
Of course.
Yes.
Men and women, yes.
Definitely.
What do you Definitely. Think you're under stress, Breezy?
Yeah, I think I'm under stress.
Right. So what kind of stress are you under?
I'm 21. I have a 2-year-old son. I'm a full-time college student, and I work full-time.
That'll do it.
Yeah, that's it. How can... Do you have a... Are you in a relationship right now?
Well, I think I'm kind of getting dumped.
Why?
Basically because I was seeing this guy for like 6 months, 7 months, something like that. I don't know what happened, but...
He stopped calling?
Yeah, he won't return my calls now. He brought me a picture of him and loaded a bunch of software on my PC, and now he won't return my calls.
That's the beauty of guys. Isn't it? Aren't guys great?
I love my sex. My golly. That was his goodbye present.
That's our gender.
That's messed up. Give me a picture to remember him by.
Oh, that's beautiful. Did he say stuff like, you're too good for me?
Oh, no, he didn't say anything. He didn't even tell me it was like that. He just won't return my calls. It's been almost 2 weeks.
Okay, the final hug, did he pat? Was there any padding in the hug? You know what I mean? Padding. You know what I mean? Pop, pop, pop. Hey, girl. Boom. A little punch on the shoulder. Nothing like that?
Nothing like that.
Wow. How many times have you called him? How many times have you called him?
Oh, gosh. I'm really bad. I've called him, let me see.
600.
Last Sunday that he left, and I've probably called him like 5 times since then.
All right, stop. You have to stop.
You need while you still have your dignity. Stop. Here's the deal. You're meeting lots of guys. You're working. You're a student. Get on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really don't even have time for guys anymore. I decided that if this
perfect.
Guy, you know,
much healthier.
I wasn't gonna mess around with guys anymore. It's really not worth my time.
Well, again,
I don't really like adding sex partners to the list.
What the list of what?
The list of partners. It's minimal now.
You don't really like adding sex partners to the list.
No, I don't like having, like, I don't want to be one of those people that, like, has 10 sex partners when they get married.
Well, you have a child.
Well, yeah, that's wrong.
So that should be your priority. You'll find someone. You just need to, you know, you're living a very busy, hectic life
right
now.
Be careful. Just because you've chosen and been attracted to bad guys doesn't mean
that... I have been attracted to bad guys. But, you know, I've never dated a guy that hasn't been a criminal. Like, all my boyfriends are criminals.
Yeah, you might want to get into some therapy.
Yeah, you might get some therapy. You want to change that behavior pattern a little bit, Breezy.
I don't know why, but I just, you know. Well, haven't
Breezy, I'd love to talk. I'm going to go rob a bank, though.
Hey, I have a question.
Well, just a second. You need to change that pattern, right? And the way to change is not by swearing off guys. It's by actually having relationships with gentlemen who are available for relationships.
Right. It sounds like other aspects of your life are together. You're a single mom. You're in college. You said you're working full time. You know, deal with your relationship issues.
What's your question?
Okay, my next question is, like, when my son was born, I didn't get the courtesy cut, and I had a ton of stitches. And, like, ever since then, I have a problem.
Hold on. I mean, you didn't have an episiotomy, you just tore?
Right. I tore really bad. I had about 45 minutes worth of stitches.
That means you don't know this, David.
Did she say a 45 minutes worth of stitches?
Putting stitches
you
in.
You can't tell the difference between the stitches and the pubic hair.
Well, let me tell you. Listen to this. Dave, hang on now. Ooh. Just think about that green baby puke vaginal discharge.
Oh, boy. Breezy, I'm down. I'm taking a knee.
What a lot of people don't know is that when a woman first have a baby, the perineum, the head comes out and the perineum stretches and the whole thing just rips open. And it rips open oftentimes all the way into the rectum.
Oh, yeah.
So there's one big...
I have a friend. I got to jump in here. I have a friend.
I ripped everywhere. Anyways, I don't think...
Oh, wait a minute.
Hold on, David. Tell
a
story.
I have a friend, a female, an old girlfriend, and she said, you know, her friend had a baby, and, you know, she had a episiotomy. And she's like, girl, how long does it take before you can have sex? She goes, have sex? I can't take a dump. I'm thinking about sex. And guys are like, 6 weeks! I'm going back in. Oh, my God. The horror.
That's great, huh? What's your question, Breezy?
Ever since then, like... I have had a problem with wetness. I just can't get wet enough. Like, it's good for, like, the first 5 minutes, and then after that, I'm, like, really dry.
Yeah, Read for Women Only by the Bermans.
Huh?
It deals with sex. Why are you shaking your head, Dr. Drew?
They're friends of mine.
Yeah, but that's the book. You've been ripped down there. Maybe she broke some of the nerve endings or something.
Yeah, or the glands. And again, we're having a lot of questions about wetness tonight. But just make sure there's all kinds of supplemental ways of accommodating that, right? Just
get some, so the normal female, like, jacks off how often?
Like at your age?
A normal 21-year-old woman.
jacks off. I love yeah.
But women at 20, 21, it's unusual for, to see them masturbating. Maybe.
Really?
Yeah. Some are doing it regularly.
I felt like
some
I was
are doing
weird or something.
No, well, that's one of the big problems.
Take yourself out on a date. You said you're swearing off men.
One of the big problems with that I've dealt with young women today is that what they are told they're supposed to be is so different than who they are biologically and intuitively.
It's something
that
they
all feel flawed. They all feel
something
wrong with
it. It's something I was trying to tell you earlier, but I was shut down by Dr. Drew.
I
said a lot of women misrepresent themselves sexually in a relationship because they feel this is they're trying to be something that they were told that they should be. And once after 6-9 months, all the dust settles and they're like, I don't like that. I really don't.
And,
no,
and they're surprised when the guy
that.
Is still going as though he's supposed to be an act too. The guy's like, no, this is...
Because he bought a Ferrari and it turned into a Jetta.
But
that's
guys, this is what I'm into. This is it. This is my drive.
And they're like, only get more and more perverted and foul as the older we get.
You
want to
tell some stories? What happened?
Well, I'm into Japanese rope bondage right now, Dr. Drew. Next caller!
Before we do next callers, let's do the next break.
Wait a minute. We just took a break.
Yeah, it's time for
you're going
one.
Soft.
I beg your pardon.
You're going soft on me. Next caller, Jimmy, Oregon, 23.
All right, let's find one more Oregon call. Here we go. Oh, it's Jim. Whoops.
Whoops.
I got Chris, 16. Go.
Yeah, hi. I just had a question on can cankers be transferred orally just kissing my girlfriend?
One word answer.
Sorry?
Oh. Oh, for me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Next caller.
Yes, they can be. They are herpes viruses, and they can be transmitted to person to person. Eric, 13.
I was wondering if, like, uncircumcised masturbation could lead to, like, an excessive irritation of the head of the penis.
Any excessive masturbation can lead to the irritation of the head of the penis, circumcised or not.
Not, like, excessive. I mean, like, just...
How many times have you been doing it?
It's, like, once every 2 days, but I meant excessive irritation, because, like, for each time that I've done it, I continually get this series of small bumps, and they don't hurt. They're just slightly irritating.
Dr. Drew, get involved.
They may be the pearly penile papules, which are lovely little
pearly
bumps that occur towards the head.
Papules.
Again, if you have you're 13, you're thinking about your penis too much, just keep it clean and dry.
What are pearly penile papules?
They're basically sort of clogged follicles.
But they're fine, right?
They're fine. They're normal at me. And if you're not
is he using some lubrication there? Some 30 weight, buddy?
Lubes, yes or no, Eric?
I also had one more question.
Yeah, boy.
When I was younger, I had like one of those lodged testicles, you know, that was like up
undescended testicle. Yeah.
And now it's been pulled down, and it seems to be slightly longer
smaller,
than the other.
Longer.
One.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like more enlarged, and there's like something in between it, and like just the general area where like the penis swells at the bottom.
Yeah. It might be either it might be a little cyst. Sometimes it forms there.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. It's all
good.
Aaron.
Keep inspecting that penis, though.
Your penis
every
is good.
Minute
it's normal.
Of the day.
Yes,
you'll
it'll,
find
it'll be fine. It'll be good.
Yes.
Now, may I take a break?
No. Next caller. Sit right down there, mister.
Evan, 22.
Hey, guys. Long time listener, first time caller. Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
Go.
Dag, I love you. My girlfriend, probably fiance pretty soon, is quite a bit older than me. And I'm just wondering, up to what age is it safe to have a child?
How old is she?
You're 22. She's
36.
It's not about so much having safe. It's whether you can have a child. After 35, the possibility of pregnancy starts dropping. At 40, it completely goes down to next to nothing.
Doesn't a lot of it have to do with your family history? You look at the women in her family, the onset of menopause.
No.
Don't shut me down!
No, I'm shutting you down.
Does race have anything to do with it either?
No.
Does what?
One of the misconceptions women have is that they can have babies at any age, and that's simply not true.
No, it's absolutely.
At 35, the possibility starts diminishing. At 40, it goes down dramatically.
I know, but I'm saying that usually the easiest way to gauge if you're a woman is look at your family. If the women in your family have had children older and are easily conceive older, then that means that you may have a greater possibility to get pregnant.
Okay.
I don't know. If the onset of menopause comes later in the women in your family, that means you may have an easier time getting pregnant.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I'll take your word for it.
It is true.
The other thing is what you're worrying about in terms of safety is the possibility of birth defects like try some
big waterhead babies and
that sort of thing.
Three, four arms. Stuff
well,
like
the,
that.
The
one big nose, no eye. Just
but the fact
nose.
Is that can be screened
I'm talking
for
about a
with
big nose, with, like as big as your head, but it's a nose
with amniocentesis. Right. And after 35, they
like a lip,
be doing
like
that.
A lip with a foot on it, so, something like that.
We're gonna take a break now.
Okay, then. Bye. But I'm saying, what about a baby? Just
be
a
back.
Big, just a big
1-800.
Next caller. Next caller.
No, break now. Hey, it's Loveline.
Did
I'm
we
Dr.
win?
Drew. Wait, Anderson, have we actually exceeded our
no,
record?
We said 35, and you're at 35.
Okay,
right,
let's go. Here we go, 35. This is a Foster, 19. Foster?
Hey, Loveline.
Hey, Foster, what's going on?
Not much.
He's going to screw us up here. Come on, here we go.
I got a question about some reverse psychology on my girlfriend.
Yeah.
She, during the Christmas time, after 3.5 years, I decided to buy her some sex toys.
Yeah,
and ever since then, sex hasn't been near what it used to be.
Yeah, because you don't measure up anymore.
No, that's not true. Did your girlfriend express an interest in sex toys before you bought them?
She always wanted to get them, but I never approved of it because I don't know.
She's busy with the toys now.
No, that's not true.
That happens.
Well, no. What did you get her? What specifically did you get her?
A vibrator, just a regular dildo, and some beads.
All right. Now, so what are you saying? They have sex. Does she use the vibrator a lot or not a little or what?
Well, the only time she says she ever uses it is when we're fooling around. But when I'm at work all day, I don't know.
What's the question?
It sounds like you have a problem with it, that you're intimidated by it. You got to tell her. Here's what you got to do. You got to tell her to tell you when she's using it, when you're not around, that turns you on. Then she's going to start telling you that. You got to get involved and use it with her. You can't be scared of these toys, or you shouldn't have bought them in the first place.
Or it's just a coincidence, and we got to move on. This has nothing to do with it. It's just a coincidence.
Let's not listen. We are health professionals, Dr. Drew. We have to help these babies.
I'm just saying.
Forget about the
Foster's
record.
Not giving us a lot of information.
I know.
And either it is your point was well taken and a good point,
Thank you,
it's completely unrelated to this, and the relationship is just having difficulty. And
or if the guy, maybe she didn't really want the toys. He's bringing home stuff she's not really into, and he's, you know.
Forcing stuff
exactly.
on
exactly.
But again, when women shut down, it means a lot about the relationship. So this is Jerry, 27.
Hey, Dr. Drew, thanks for calling. Or having me
I'm glad you were there to take my call, Jerry. I appreciate it.
Sorry.
What I'm calling about.
funny stuff. Jerry, what's your problem?
My girlfriend a few months ago wanted me to have a threesome with her best friend, who's like 7 years younger than us.
Say girlfriend? Your girlfriend?
That? My girlfriend wanted me to have a threesome with her best friend that's a girlfriend.
All right.
And she's like 7 years younger than us. I didn't want to. She's kind of resented it, and there's been some, I guess, acting out behavior from her. And it started out in our relationship where everything was normal. Now there's she's contacting old boyfriends, talking on the phone with them a lot in front of me.
You know what? Yeah, that's nice. David is an expert in
women
like this.
Dumper.
Expert. He's had extensive experience.
But wait a minute, tell him right now. It wouldn't matter. The threesome
is just a preamble to getting out of this relationship.
It's an act of destruction. Yeah. Usually, I mean, and you know what? I'm a very open-minded guy. Usually, couples get together, you do all that crazy stuff in the beginning, all that stuff settles down, and, you know, maybe you've experimented together, you stay together, it's fine. But when it goes on
this... You're telling us something there, David, about your history. But
you pull up some strange every now and then when you get bored, you go trolling. You know, the strip clubs and the sex toys and the sex in a public place.
This relationship
was
not going to make it, no matter what.
Well, if you... Yeah, no, it's not. She's looking for a way out.
She claims that she went through therapy when her mother died, and the therapist put her on this, if you've ever heard, happiness is your choice kind of thing, and she says I should accept her the way she is, that she's not cheating on me or anything like that.
No, what does she have to say to an old boyfriend that it's so necessary she has to contact him?
In front of you.
She claims that she just maintains deep relationships with people. She doesn't establish shallow relationships.
But you the way you said it is like this is new, right? I mean, this there has been a change.
The first 3 or 4 months, it wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. She'd call people, and mm-hmm. there was never any sexual jokes or anything like that. Now it seems like she's on the phone all the time. And
so give me an example. Is she on the phone like going, hey, cable man? I bet if I'm not wearing panties, I hope I don't slip and sit on your face. Stuff like that.
That explicit, but, okay. You know, just the innuendo and references.
Yeah. This accept me the way I am BS is ridiculous.
Kick it to the curb, homie.
This is chaos. This is poor boundaries. This is unhealthy relationships. And there are plenty of crazy therapists out there that are supporting her.
Wait. One last question. When you guys do have sex, is it banging? Is it off the hook? What's going on?
It's crazy. Yeah.
Stick with her, my friend.
No.
The loopy ones are the best. God bless the crazy girls. Next caller.
We're almost done. What do you think here? Okay. Last call. Are we at? This is our last call. Are we there?
Yes. Number 34, right here.
We're there.
Oh, beautiful.
Alicia, 20.
Hi.
Hi. What's up?
Hi, Alicia.
We have 1 minute.
Okay. Well, I'm having a lot of problems with my boyfriend right now, with the whole aspect of him trusting me.
Why?
Because there's a lot of things I've done in my past with me going back on my word, and the decisions that I've made are to benefit myself and not my relationship.
Wait, stop with the BS. Yeah. What
did you
do? Line?
Did you cheat? You partied? You slept with a bunch of guys while you were dating with him? What?
Well, I used to party a lot, and I completely stopped that.
When you say party,
yeah, exactly. What does that mean?
Partying, going out, drinking every night heavily, and
then what happens?
Well, I don't remember what I do. And
what were you told you did?
I was told that I was just dancing on the bar. I was passing out. I was yelling at people. I got in fights with guys.
Which of your parents is an alcoholic?
Neither.
Your grandparents?
Neither.
Great-grandparents?
Is there a reason they were?
Aunts, uncles?
My sister drinks, but...
I mean, this sounds like mostly this is alcoholism. And your husband or boyfriend, whoever, sounds very codependent, trying to control you. And that's a bad situation.
But here's the one quick question. If you've changed your behavior, have you not?
Yes.
Greatly.
I haven't touched a drink in like ages.
All right.
So are you in a program?
No.
Yeah, but he should be happy.
He should be, but he's still very, very codependent and controlling. And one of the things that codependents do is they start acting out their anger when people stop drinking.
Because then they lost their role.
They can, too. They know you're going to hear them when you're not loaded. Right.
But they've lost their role.
They need you to be sick kind of thing. Right. Exactly. Now, Alicia, this is this typical sort of codependent alcoholic relationship.
Answer Jimmy one word.
You can check out my book, Cracked, if you wish. We got to go to break. Be right back.
Line one, real quick.
No, we're going. Bye. God bless you, David. We have broken the love line record for a number of calls in a single show.
Okay, what's the final tally?
Anderson?
33.
34.
34. Count them. I was telling you to go to Jimmy. You can answer him real, real quick.
Oh, all right. Well, we're there. It's good enough.
Man, we broke the record.
It was, all right, I'll answer it right now.
Yeah.
Can mushrooms do the same thing as LSD and X? The answer is yes.
That's 34. We
34,
yeah. There we are. Yee-hee. We're broken. And David Unger, thank you for coming in. And,
beautiful. Love.
I will read Glamour on your recommendation.
Yes, Aisha Tyler, celebrity sex relationship.
And the three of us will have a talk show in the future, I guarantee.
We will. It'll be called something really snazzy, like The Doctor and His Two Black Friends.
I would love that.
Oprah, move over. That old bag turned 50.
Doctor and his two black friends are coming in.
There we go.
All right, guys. This is Loveline. Adam will be back on Sunday. Thank you for listening. Thank you, David Ongrier. And until then, on behalf of Adam Carolla, this is Dr. Drew saying
Mahakalakaloli.
We'll be back with more Loveline after this.
Adam, eat your heart out.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.